Amen. Shout amen.
Amen.
Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Recently, I received a book by Rick Renner entitled A Life Ablaze. Here's a picture of it right here. This is my book from Rick. We came home from one of the services last week, and this was sitting on the desk. Somebody from the office came by and dropped off homework for me, as well as this book. And I looked at it, and I didn't even know that Rick had written a new book. It's amazing to me, the books that he reads. He writes every day. Rick Renner writes every day. And in 2 weeks, he and Denise will be right here ministering to us. Are you excited about that? I am. He was one of our speakers at the ministers' conference, and they're dear friends to Pastor Terry and me. But when I saw this, something went off on the inside of me. I looked at this cover. Look at it again. There's a fire there, a life ablaze. And something about this book connected on the inside of me. Well, the next day, Brother Copeland called me and asked me if I had seen Pastor Rick's broadcast that he has on the Victory Channel. And he said, did you watch his broadcast today? I said, no, I didn't get an opportunity to. He says, you need to watch that. He's talking about the fire of God. And the particular program that he was teaching on, he was talking about fire for souls, evangelism. And he was talking about the church that he grew up in and how on fire they were about souls. But the thing that really, really touched me about it, and he's teaching about this life ablaze, a life ablaze. And what was different about it was what I saw on him, what I saw on Pastor Rick. There was something different about him. There was something on the inside of him that I was noticing. And I just really, my heart just resonated with this message. And I really had to go back to my own self and to really check in with the Lord and say, have I lost that fire? Is that fire still there? What level is the fire? What's the temperature of the fire on the inside of me? And so I started looking through this book, and then I received Rick Renner's monthly letter for January. And there were some things in the letter that he really did a synopsis of what the book was all about. And I just thought to myself, the fire that I saw on him was the fire that I wanted to see in me. I want more fire. I want more of the fire of God on the inside of me. And really what you saw in me today, singing songs and just worshiping, that's the freedom of the Lord. That's the fire of God on the inside. That fire is like a furnace that burns brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, so that people can see the fire that's on the inside of us, that's reaching out and ministering to people. So I wanted to do this, first of all, from Pastor Rick's January 2020 past partner letter. I'm going to read some of this to you because he really articulates what I want to be said to you this morning. And I'll put these things up on the screen too. But these are quotes. These are quotes from his book and quotes from his partner letter. Listen to this. For you to be effective spiritually and truly fulfilled in life, it is absolutely essential that you remain ablaze with spiritual fire. For us to be effective spiritually and to be fulfilled, that fire has to be there. That fire cannot go out. He said, perhaps you can remember a time when your heart was ablaze with the passion for the things of God, but you would admit that since that time, the fire had diminished. Well, we all go through periods like that. We all go through times like that where there's a waning of that fire, and it comes in and out. But he's saying here, there are times when the fire of God on the inside will begin to diminish. It'll get lower. We were at a party Friday night for our little nephew, and he was having a party there in outdoors, and they had a fire. I was so excited because it was so cold that night. It was really cold Friday night. And so they put those logs on the fire. This thing is burning. I am stepping right up to it, step in it if I could have, but I was just cold. It was cold out there, and this thing is just flaming, and it brought me back to times when I was in Boy Scouts and we would go camping. This is Massachusetts on the coast. We go camping every month. no matter what kind of weather it was, we'd go camping. And just the smell of a fire burning and the smoke, you know, breathing in that smoke and your eyes watering and you're going like this. Anyway, I was just enjoying it, thoroughly enjoying it. And so we walked around, we were visiting with different people and so forth, and I started to get cold again, and I walked up to the fire, and it was embers. I'm like, what is the matter with this fire? It's already burnt down. Anyway, Caleb, who is the dad, he told me, I think he said that they ran out of wood, and I told him, well, you got furniture inside the house, don't you? He didn't take my advice. But you can see how easy it is to grow cold. The things that happen to you, the things that take place around you. I mean, with some people, they can get up in the morning and they're just on fire and hot and go through the day. And by the time they get home, that fire has burned down into those embers. Well, Pastor Rick said, if that describes you, take the time to consider the following. And he listed these three things. He said, what happened along the way to diminish or quench that fire that once burned so brightly? You know, you can really monitor yourself and monitor how things affect you, and whether it's phone calls or people saying things to you or texts that you receive. How does that affect you? And is it like cold water being poured on the fire? Well, what happened along the way to diminish or quench that fire that burns so brightly? Then he said, what should you have done differently to keep it burning? What do you do to keep that burning? And then he said, what can you do right now to stoke those embers and get your inner fire blazing again? He said, when any kind of natural fuel serving as a catalyst for fire is depleted, it is just a fact that the fire will eventually go out. And just the example that I gave you about the party that we went to, I watched a fire burn brightly, and I watched a fire get low into barely the embers and barely putting out the heat. And that's a good picture of how we are, of how when you're walking through life and things are affecting you and it's hot one moment, cold the next moment, and there's a fire sometimes that people have when they first get saved. They've got a fire for souls and they've got a fire for God. And then they just start walking through life and things begin to hit them. And it really is the devil's purpose and plan to pour cold water on the fire and get you to a place where you just throw your hands up and give up. And that's not what we want to do. And as I was just reading some of Rick's book and reading his letter and watching the broadcast, I thought to myself, and there's no limit to how bright that fire can burn. And I just said to myself, I want more of the fire of God on the inside of me. I want to be more demonstrative about the fire of God and be excited. Be more excited. Be more excited about what He's all about. And be more excited about, like Pastor Gene was saying, having gratitude. Giving and gratitude. And I really like what he said. He was talking about the tithe. And I thought, this came to me, Pastor Gene. You've got to walk through the door of the tithe to bring your offering. That's how it works. So this excitement for Him and this excitement for the life that we live, that should never be toned down. People are out there and they are cold as they can be. There are people freezing out there because they can't meet their own needs. They've got situations going on in their lives. There's a lot of people out there in homes right now that they're going through difficult times, and they need people like us to come up to the fire and get warm. They need people like us to be able to come and see what it looks like, what a life in Christ really does look like. So he presented these three things and talked about that fuel. And I remember we went skiing with the Copeland family one time, and we all rented a big home. The whole family was there, a big home. And there was a fireplace in the kitchen, and it was in between the kitchen and the living room. And I was looking at it and I thought, well, I'll just start a fire. And when it comes to fires, I'm like a fire connoisseur. I work it. I work the fire. I'm trying to place the logs the way they should be and let air flow through it. And I got a little bit carried away on this fire that we had at the family house. So everybody's cooking dinner and they're getting ready. And I'm building this. I'm putting logs because they had lots of logs. I'm putting logs. And all of this thing is roaring. It is roaring. And Brother Copeland looked at me. He says, what do you want to do? Burn the house down? I mean, it was a roaring fire. But that's the way we should be. You and I should be like a roaring fire, that no matter what is going on, no matter what is happening in our lives, that fire is still burning on the inside of us. He said, if fuel is not regularly added to your spiritual fire, and if you don't stoke those embers and fan the flames, the fire will begin to go out. Those embers have to be tended to regularly in order to keep the fire going. You know, it is the will of God for the fire. Be ye being filled with the Holy Ghost. Be ye being filled constantly, continually. And there are things that we can do. There are things that we do to stoke the flames of the fire. I've spent, for instance, this morning, and usually what I do is I'll study on Saturday night, get up in the morning, I'll put finishing touches on the message, and then I'll spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. I've been praying in the Holy Ghost over this service. And what's going to happen, because sometimes, I don't know, there are things I do know about a service, but sometimes, like coming in this morning, my heart was wide open to the music and what we did, and I just enjoyed it. I enjoy seeing the Holy Spirit move. But we have to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the ways that you do that is by praying in the Spirit. And I spent time this morning building myself up in my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And I know that if I get down for any reason or I get tired and I can feel that fire going down on the inside, I just step away and I take time to pray in the Spirit. I take time to pray in the Spirit and I take time to praise God. And what that does, it's like David, you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. You got to build yourself up in these things, especially when you're alone, you're by yourself. And sometimes when I'm praying in the Spirit, I get over onto a place in there that I get so excited and I get so thrilled. You know, this morning I was looking through one of the ways that I feed my faith is that I look at these cards that they give me of all the people that are watching us. Now I happen to have the card from last week, and we began with about 20 countries, and by the end of the service, this whole card was filled up. We've had people joining us from all over the world. And I was sitting there this morning and I was thinking to myself, the words that I'm going to be speaking are going all over the world. I got excited, and that was fanning the flame on the inside of me. And I just prayed in the Spirit over this service today. So it takes attention, lots of attention and work to keep the fire burning bright. Rick Renner gave these two versions of Romans 12:11. I'll just read them to you. The Amplified translation of Romans 12:11, never lag in zeal or in earnest endeavor. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Now that's where another place comes in the fire of God. It comes from serving Him. It comes from being available wherever you go. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're in the store, you're shopping, you're always available to Him, and that fire is burning on the inside, that people need to know what you have. Have you ever had anybody walk up to you and say, what is it about you that's different? I told you about this. Terry and I were at a Marshall's one time. We're standing in line. We're buying some luggage there. And there was a lady in front of us and a lady in front of her. And the lady in front of us turned and looked at me and said, are you a pastor? You look like a pastor. You look like a pastor. And then she hit the lady in front of her, didn't know her at all. And she said to the lady in front of her, she said, look at him. Does he look like a pastor? She goes, yeah, he looks like a pastor. You look like a pastor. Are you a pastor? Yes, I'm a pastor. See, I told you you're a pastor. Well, that's the fire burning brightly. And Brother Savelle, remember Brother Savelle talking about walking through the mall? And this lady was following him because of the fire, the light that was coming out of him. That's the glory. That's the glory. We are glory containers. We're containers of the glory of God. And wherever we go, we allow that glory, that fire, to come out of us into the lives of other people. It is not reserved for this building. You don't check your fire at the door. You take it with you. On the job, wherever you are, you let that fire burn brightly. And that happens with individuals, but that also happens with the church. I want the fire to burn so brightly. This is the revival capital of the world that we are in. And that fire in this place should be burning so brightly on the inside of us. I thought it was funny that during the ministers' conference, this room is full with ministers. And a couple of times there's some of the speakers trying to get some response from these ministers to like be excited about what they're saying. It's so funny. And I wanted to get up. I thought I had a word from the Lord. Maybe it wasn't. But I wanted to get up and say, look, guys, you have a perfect opportunity to sow seed where your own meetings are concerned. You gripe and you complain about people that don't respond to you, and you sit there like a log that's not burning at all. But I didn't say that. So I participated. Did you participate? Yes. Did you participate? I know you did. I know you did. Because you got fire all over you. The fire of God. I was watching you this morning in your service, and you're like, come on, people, what's wrong with you? I saw you say. See, I'm telling you. So the fire has to burn. And it says in Romans 12, 11, in the Phillips translation, let us not allow slackness to spoil our work. And let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning as we do our work for God. So look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day, night, and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Well, something was going on here. Something was taking place. And really, if we had the time, it would be an interesting study because Timothy was a student of Paul. Paul was mentoring Timothy. So Timothy would stay in touch with the Apostle Paul in the same way that I stay in touch with Brother Copeland about certain issues and certain things. So he was staying in touch with the Apostle Paul. And it's interesting, I did this study one time of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and you know what the questions Timothy had by the way that the Apostle Paul was answering the questions. All that we have in Timothy are answers to Timothy's questions. That's what was going on. And Timothy was under intense pressure. He was under intense pressure. So going on here, he said, I'm mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith or the pure, honest, sincere faith that is in you, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Timothy was surrounded by chaos. He was surrounded by confusion and by pressure, first of all, because of the intense persecution that was going on at that time. He was also pastoring a massive church, over 100,000 people in that church. And it was huge. He was young, and he was dealing with not only the stress of pastoring a large church, but he also had on top of that the stress of dealing with different individuals in the church. We don't have time in this service to go through and to read all of the places that Paul is teaching him what to do about the people. But one I wanted to show you, he was having to deal with rich people who wanted to control everybody and everything in the church. And I'll prove it to you. Just turn a page back to 1 Timothy 1:17. Paul is talking to him because Timothy was telling Paul, I don't know how to deal with the rich people. And I have a whole teaching on this that talks about it, but let me just summarize it for you. These people were arrogant. They were full of themselves. They were making other people in the church their slaves. And they were wanting the highest places in the church, and they're wanting the greatest voice in the church. And here's what Paul had to tell him in 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them. Charge them. Charge them. Command them. Demand them, he's saying to Timothy. Command them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded and not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy, and that they do good. He's having to tell them that because they were doing bad. He had to tell them that because they were high-minded. He had to tell them that because they were trusting in their riches more than they were trusting in God. Verse 18, that they do good and that they be rich in good works. They were not being rich in good works. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate, willing to give. So Paul told him, okay, you're having problems with the wealthy people in the church. Here's what you do. Charge them. Command them. That's a military term. He's encouraging him. He's encouraging to stir up that fire on the inside. And don't take that stuff from people. You're in charge of this church. I put you in charge of this church. And so when you read this, it's very interesting. All of the things that Timothy was facing as a pastor. I was talking to a young pastor not too long ago. And there, long story, horrible situation that went on in the church. And this young pastor was telling me, he said, I didn't buy into this like this. I didn't want to get into this. I mean, it was just a really, really hard situation. When I went into ministry, I wasn't looking to do this. Well, it is hard and it is tough. And there are things that we face and things that go on. But that fire, that's what the devil's trying to do, is he's trying to get that fire down to the place where you completely lose your joy. You completely use that love for God and that love for people. There are a lot of pastors and pulpits this morning that are burnt out, totally burnt out. They've taken the care. They've taken the worry. They've taken the pressure. They've taken all of it. And they are right at the end. Lord, I pray for those pastors right now that they stir up the fire that's on the inside of them and not give up and not quit and not let people push them around or try to divide husband and wife. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we reach out to them. And there are pastors, there are some pastors this morning that didn't go to church. Said, I've had it. I'm done. I'm through. That builds up over a period of time. And see, that's how the devil tries to work on us. It's the pile-up technique. Piling up this situation and that situation. And what it's doing is it's like throwing blankets on the fire, just covering that thing up and trying to put out the fire. But he's not going to put out my fire. He's not going to put out your fire. Because we live a life that's ablaze for him. Say, no matter what's going on, I'm on fire for God. Devil's not stealing my joy. I've got the fire of God on the inside of me. The fire of God is in this church. In Jesus' name. So he was dealing with this. He was dealing with these things. And he was, by that time, he was physically, emotionally exhausted. And his own spiritual fire had just begun to wane. And Paul told him, he said, you're going to have to take action. You're going to have to stir the fire back up again. Verse 6 in the Amplified Translation really brings out the Greek meanings of the word and what this scripture is actually saying. It says in the Amplified Translation, that is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands with those of the elders at your ordination. So we see here, what does this stir up the gift that he's talking about? Stir up the fire. That's what it says. That's what it's all about. He's talking about a fire that had once been burning brightly and it had come back down. And what you have to do is take this poker and begin to stir the embers and then begin to put wood back on top. You start with sticks and those sticks turn into logs and that fire begins to be raging again in your life. So that's what that scripture is talking about. Stir up the gift or fan the flame, kindle the fire, That's on the inside of you. Build that fire up so that it is raging on the inside. That is why I remind you, I'm reminding you, stir up, rekindle the embers of, fan the flame and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of my hands. Well, in verse 7, it says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So that goes to show me that Paul nailed it. It was the spirit of fear. You don't tell somebody you've not been given the spirit of fear if they're not dealing with the spirit of fear. Why wouldn't you do that? There'd be no sense in it. But Timothy was dealing with fear over this whole thing. And Paul had to nail it. He had to nail it. Timothy, you got to stir that gift back up on the inside. You got to stir that. You got to fan that flame that's on the inside. And he said, you've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. This is what was given to Timothy. All right, turn to Leviticus chapter 6. So we see here, we got to stir the embers. We stir the embers. And there are different ways to stir the embers. You stir the embers through the reading of the Word of God. You stir the embers by listening to that Word. That's what was going on here last week in this minister's conference. There was a lot of fires that had come in here that had just gone completely down. And they came in here and from the Word go. We didn't start on this level. We started up here. And it took off from there. And it was one word after another word after another word. People don't realize how much ministers and pastors especially, they need that. We need that. We need to be fed because we spend our lives feeding. I was telling somebody the other day, I was talking about what I do in my life. I spend nearly all of my life preparing to deliver something, preparing to do church or preparing to do a service or preparing to do something. It's in a constant state of preparation. Tomorrow morning, we're having our honor code chapel here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And every year we sign the honor code. Well, you know, I started working on it last week. And then as soon as this service is over, I switch over to that. And here we go. Prepare for the honor code chapel. So as a pastor, you keep putting out and putting out and putting out. And eventually, if you don't put back in, you're going to be depleted. That's why it's so important to be in church. Some people say, well, I don't need to go to church. I can stay at home. I can watch it. I'm so thankful that we have the ability for people around the world to be able to watch this here. But if you're down the street and you're watching it, you ought to be right here in church because there's an atmosphere here. Can you feel it? Can you feel the presence and feel the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God? And I want more of that. I want the glory waves to just come rolling on in every Sunday morning. And that we experience the presence of God and the revival fires, revival fires. You know, I came out of the Episcopal Church. I grew up in New England, came out of the Episcopal Church. And then after I got saved at 19, I went to a Baptist church, a little Baptist church. Now, we didn't have what was called revivals. I don't know what revivals were in the Baptist church. I know that you probably had revivals here and maybe they wanted for a week. A revival would go on for a week. But we're talking about the spirit of revival. The spirit of revival. It's not necessarily ongoing meetings like a Toronto or Pensacola, but it's the spirit of revival that settles down upon a congregation. It's an excitement. It's an expectation. It's an enthusiasm that every time we come in here, something's going to happen. Something is going to take place. It's never same old, same old. Something's going to take place that will just skyrocket and just take us because we want to go. And as your pastor, I want to go there. I want to go wherever God wants us to go. And I want the flame. I want the flame and the fire of God to burn brightly. That's what this little book did for me as I was looking at it and reading it. And a life ablaze. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? There used to be, I don't think they still have Women's Aglow. Do they still have Women's Aglow? I don't know. Do they? Women's Aglow. And I just first heard about that when I came here to Texas, but just the word aglow, to be aglow, to let your light so shine from you. And I do that everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, I'm connecting with people somehow, some way. I have a reputation amongst my family that they'll be moving on and walking this direction and Pastor George is back here talking to somebody. There's just that connection. And I'm excited. I am excited about my life in Christ. I'm excited about the fact I was born again in 1972. And I'm more excited right now than I ever have been about my life in Him. And I'm excited about what my future looks like. And I'm excited about what heaven is going to be like. I'm excited about what God is doing in my life. I'm on fire for Him. How about you? How about you? Well, first of all, we have to stir the embers. But second of all, we've got to keep the fire burning. Are you in Leviticus? Did I tell you Leviticus 6? All right, Leviticus 6 and verse 8. It says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto the morning. And the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, and shall he put upon his flesh, and take upon the ashes which the fire has consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar." The ashes beside the altar. "And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes outside of the camp unto a clean place. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out." It shall not be put out. "And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning." The priest shall burn wood on it every morning. That's why we have to read our Bibles every morning. That's like wood being put on the fire. That's why when we get up, we need to be praying in the Holy Ghost and praising God. And what you're doing is you're fanning that flame. You're just putting logs on it. He said, "It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn therein the fat of the peace offerings." Look at verse 13. "The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." It shall never go out. We are not designed by God to be up one day and down the other. That's not part of what He wants us to do. You know, I looked at the NIV translation on this verses 12 and 13. It says, "The fire and the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out." So the fire in our church should keep burning. The fire in our lives should keep burning. And this is the tough part. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening, you got to be in a place where you absolutely refuse the devil to pour cold water on your fire. You continue to do that. The move of God in our lives should be burning brighter and brighter every single day. That move of God should be burning. It should burn brighter. We should be burning brighter and brighter every day. I should look brighter tomorrow than I do today. And the next day, the fire on the inside of me. I want to see a fire like I built in Colorado. A raging fire on the inside of me. The priest, noted, is the priest that kept the fire going. Who are the priests of today? We are. We are the priests of today. Revelation 1:6, "He has made us kings and priests." We must keep stoking the fire with praise, tongues, confession, souls, prayer, the Word of God. I mean, in this book of Rick Renner's, these are all divided into different chapters. And he's got A Life Ablaze is chapter 1. Chapter 2, Ablaze with... You can order Rick's book. I think you can get it here through the bookstore or go to Rick Renner Ministries. But chapter 2, Ablaze with God's Word. Chapter 3, Ablaze with Prayer. Chapter 4, Ablaze with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 5, Ablaze with Worship. Chapter 6, Ablaze for Souls. Chapter 7, Ablaze with Generosity. Chapter 8, Ablaze with Holiness. Chapter 9, Ablaze with Humility. Ablaze with Authority. Ablaze with the Fear of the Lord. So all of these different things are what... These are all like Rick does. And this is what he did on his broadcast. At the beginning of his broadcast, you can see a huge bonfire in his backyard. And he's there and he's holding a piece of wood. And the wood represents the fuel of the Word of God that we need to keep putting on that fire and let it burn brightly every single day. Now, I'll give you this last scripture. Then I have something to read to you. In Luke 24, 31 and 32, talking about the road to Emmaus. The road to Emmaus, Jesus was risen. And he's walking along with these people and they're sad. He said, why are you so sad? And they were talking about what took place and what happened. And Jesus began to preach to them. He began to minister to them. He cooked for them. He cooked them a meal. And they were so excited. They said, abide with us. Stay with us. Please don't go. Please don't go. I mean, that's the attitude that we should have with His Word, with the presence of God, with our fellowship with Him, our relationship. Don't go, don't go. We want you to stay. We want you to abide. There's a lot of churches that have asked the Holy Spirit to go to the lobby. He's out in the lobby somewhere. And you'll notice every service, and I've done this for years now, we invite the Holy Spirit into this service to be a part of what's going on, and really not a part, but to lead it, to direct it, to guide it, and to show us and to tell us, okay, now it's time to stop. It's time to let the people home, and just to have a knowing of what the Holy Spirit wants to do. We have to do that in our lives. We've got to allow Him to do that. So Jesus is talking to these people. And then it says in verse 31 and 32, the NIV, then their eyes were open and they recognized Him. And He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? Were not our hearts burning? Wasn't there a fire raging on the inside of Him? These speakers that we had last week, I mean, there was a fire raging on the inside of me. Brother Copeland, oh, the nights that he spoke, he would begin to teach on some things. And then I could tell he just got over into a place. He got over into a place and he was just touching hearts and touching people and saying things by the leadership and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And it was just, my heart was just so on fire with the things that he was talking about. And that's what it should be, that the preaching of the Word lights the fire on the inside. That's why we come to church. That's why we are in church. We are in church. We come to church, and this is for the people that say, well, I don't need to come to church. We come to church because there is a corporate anointing to be experienced. There's a corporate fire that's on the inside of this place. There are times when I'm sitting there listening to the Word being preached. I'm getting ideas. I'm getting concepts. I'm getting insights into things. The Lord is showing me things. There's an electric atmosphere going on in here right now. There are answers that some people are getting as they've been sitting here. Anybody get an answer today? There, hands are going up. Hands are going up. Look at that. All over the place. Hands. Answers are coming to you. What is it? It's the thickness of the presence of God. It's the fire of God in this place. That fire is here amongst us. And in the Greek, when it talks about this word burn, really they were saying, did not our hearts feel ignited in us while He talked? Did not our hearts feel set on fire in us as He talked? Did not our hearts feel consumed with a burning blaze as He talked to us? That's what it means. That's what that burning means in the Greek. All of those words, the fire that burns on the inside. I'll finish it up with this. There was a friend of mine who attended the minister's conference. He actually sits on the board of the Kenneth Copeland Ministries UK office. We've known each other for many years, many years. He's also a preacher, preached in many different places. He was in church last Sunday as I was talking about the revival capital of the world. And I got word through our international director that he had a word for me about that. So we set up a time and we were actually right backstage here, back behind the door. And I took out my phone and I just began to record what he was saying. And it just was working on the inside of me, what he was saying and what he was telling me. Let me read to you what he said. Last Sunday, and musicians, why don't you come on up here? Last Sunday, you talked about the revival capital of the world. The last time I was here, you spoke about the revival capital. This time, it seemed different. About 4 years ago, my wife and I were invited to a meeting by a Danish pastor. We'd never met him before. He called us forward, prayed for us, and told us that from now on, we would be carrying revival fire. I want to carry revival fire. I want to carry that. I want to pack it in my spiritual suitcase and take it everywhere I go. I don't want to settle for just so-so. How was the service? Fine. No. No. How was the service? Oh my. What we experienced, what we saw, what we heard. So he said, he called us forward, prayed for us, told us from now on we'd be carrying revival fire. I went out in the spirit and felt something on me for at least a week. I confessed and declared that I was carrying revival fire. Last year, I went to Zimbabwe and I thought, now is the time to start releasing it. Now is the time to start releasing it. I began to talk about revival and the fire of God. It was so strong that my interpreter doubled over on the floor under the anointing. He said, I had a sense last Sunday that this is your time. This is your time. And you know when people give me a word like that, you know they're talking about you too. This is your time. Like pastor, like pew. What happens to me, it happens to you. And so he's saying, it's your time. It's your time. You're carrying revival fire, and it's time to release it to EMIC. They need to understand it, and they need to carry it too. Because when people begin to come to the revival capital of the world, they, you, will have something to release to them. You're carrying that fire, and you can release it. So as I read that and I studied that, I thought about that. I thought, okay. I'll release it. I'll release it to this congregation. I'll release the fire of God. That's on the inside of me. I want you to stand up. Anybody that wants to come down here, come on down. Especially those of you, the fire has waned. The fire has just waned. It's gone down. It's smoldering. And you want that stirred back up on the inside of you. This is a spiritual release. By that word, and it all goes to the revival capital of the world and what's going to take place and the things that we're going to experience and the things that we're going to see. But I believe there's a fire. There's a fire being released today to this congregation. There's a fire that your life is going to change. It's going to change. And I'd recommend you either get Rick's book or you can watch his programs. Go to his website. Watch the programs that he did. I think he did 2 weeks. On a life ablaze. And go back that's what stirred me. That's what stirred me. And there are other books that I have read, Revival Fires. There's a book called Revival Fires. I read it some time ago and I can remember there's a whole chapter in there about children. Children and revival. And how in this one particular instance, these children were in church. And there was at one point, one little girl ran out and she got a bucket of water and poured it on another little girl. Why did you do that? Why did you do that? Because she was on fire. I had to put out the fire. Oh my. Oh my. I sense it in the room right now. This is time to move forward. It's time to move forward as a church. It's time to get ready. It's time to get ready because they're coming. They're coming. And what this man said to me, we all have to have it. We all have to be equipped with this on the inside. And so I just want you to lift your hands right now. Lift your hands right now. And especially those of you. Those of you that the fires have gone down. You have struggled with the issues of family, life, job, issues of health, finances, and it's like the devil trying to sift you, drain you, pour that water on you. Well, it's time for the fires of God to burn brightly. It's time for that fire. It's time for the fahasha garabasa sambrabedishkationa. Don't you realize that when you speak the living word of God, that's fire coming out of your mouth. And it's absolutely destroying that which needs to be destroyed. It has a destructive and a creative power, that confession of your tongue. It will create those things that need to happen in your lives. And at the same time, it will obliterate and destroy and burn up, woo, those things. Fire from heaven coming down to earth to fill your holy people. And to see them walk Free! Free! By instruction of the Holy Spirit, by the word of the Lord. As the pastor of this church, I release Holy Ghost fire upon our congregation now in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost fire now, 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 now. I release it. I release it. Oh, and thank you, Lord, for the victory that we are walking in this hour. Victory over everything in our lives. The fire of God is here. The fire of God is here. The fire of God is on this property. The fire of God is on this ministry. The fire of God is on this Bible school. Fire! Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Stir up the fire on the inside. Stir up the gift of God on the inside. Holy